Bank Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back into the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Cora and I are chatting with Ron Suchecki. Ron is down in Australia. He is involved with the Perth Mint. Very, very interesting man. He's been on the show before. He's the manager for analysis and strategy for the Perth Mint. And I guess my first question is, what's going on with China? We're hearing all kinds of negative comments about China over here in the U.S. And can you comment on that? And what's their demand for gold right now?
Yeah, thanks, Al. Yeah, look, China, it has eased off quite a bit. We've seen reports, public reports of Shanghai Gold Exchange prices going to a discount to the spot market. And we ourselves have heard that some bullion banks are actually liquidating kilo bars. Normally we supply kilo bars into that market. I think it's probably the main reason I think that's occurring is that a lot of the banks do stockpile gold prior to the Chinese New Year. Obviously, there's quite a surge of buying before the Chinese New Year, and so a lot of bullion banks do actually stockpile, and we do see them sort of taking kilo bars from us and putting it into warehouses, and so they try to get ahead of that demand. And indeed, we did see in COMEX, if you look at some of the COMEX movements out of the warehouses, you can see actual kilo, exact 1-ton ounce lots coming in and out, and that's a ton of kilo bars. And we did see them pull out 10 tons, I think, out of JPM's warehouse prior to the Chinese New Year. So I think what's happened is that maybe some of the bullion banks sort of overestimated, got a little bit bullish, did I say, and overestimated the Chinese demand, and maybe they were left with a little bit too much stock after it, and so there's probably a little bit of excess within China at the moment, and that's maybe accounting for the discount that we're seeing in Shanghai. But also, just anecdotally, I mean, I do walk past our dealers every morning and sort of go, what's happening, you know, who's buying, who's selling, and particularly have a look at our sort of Perth Mint certificate orders that come from our dealers overnight. And unfortunately, I have been seeing still a bit of selling pressure there for some of those clients, and I'm just wondering whether some clients are seeing this sort of move up and taking it as an opportunity to maybe to sort of liquidate. And so I think we've still got a bit of residue, people that are hurting from having bought high and are looking to sort of say, well, I've had enough, the price is a bit strong, okay, this is my chance to get out. Having said that, we're not really seeing like a massive increase in liquidations. Liquidations are running, they're still continuing, but they're continuing at a pretty steady sort of rate. What we are seeing is not so much new money coming in at this stage. So the inflows have sort of dropped off. And this is just obviously from our client base. And I think we need to see clients. I think clients are probably looking for a lot more strength in the price. You know, they've been beaten quite heavily from 1900 down. And I think before we see a real run in, we're going to need to, those investors are going to want to see the price showing some stability, showing strength. It might come off a bit and then come back up. And I think as this sideways movement trends along and as it moves up to 1400 and maybe comes down to 13 and then it comes back up again during this year, that will actually start to build a lot more confidence with the retail investor. And they'll say, okay, gold's not going to sort of leave me at the altar. It's showing a strength. It's not going to break through 1200. And that'll think will start to bring new clients in.
Ron, by you stating that, you know, liquidations have kind of stayed the same, but there isn't a whole lot of new money coming in. Mm. It really speaks volumes to me on a couple charts that I've seen recently talking about, if you look at gold just in the short term, it's actually in a stage or in a period of being overbought. Well, if you look at it in a long-term trend, then it's just about to re-enter this long-term trend, and it's actually not in this overbought stage. So what maybe makes me think is what's going on here is the smart money already got in a little while ago, and now they might be sitting on it. Some of the short-term traders got in a little while ago and now are starting to liquidate, but at least we're still seeing this mopped up, so the price isn't really taking any hits, and hopefully this gold is being transferred into more long-term holders' hands. Have you seen any of this, or can you even speak to this?
No, as I said, we don't see, and the thing that's encouraging to me is that our liquidation rate over the last couple of years is pretty consistent, and there's a natural churn, and obviously there's some clients sort of saying, I've had enough, I'm getting out, but it's not like there's this sudden surge and, you know, our clients all liquidating, we're having this massive run and everyone's getting out. It's just that the new inflows have dropped off. So if new money's not flowing in, obviously the price is not, you know, there's no buying power that's coming in really pushing that price. And again, I'm just talking here from, you know, our clients, which are more, the clients we attract are more buy and hold types, not traders, you know, not short-term people. But I do think, that sort of view that you talked about is sort of looking at two different ways of looking at the market. And I think if you look at it on a short-term sort of basis, yes, it's having this run up to 1350 and it's trying to get to 1400. But if you look at, you know, on comparing the price relative to some sort of shorter moving day averages, it's starting to get a little bit toppy. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it correct down. But you're right, if you look at it on a longer term scale, it's really starting to show strength and it's well off that 1200, you know, 1180 bottom that everyone's talking about. And, you know, all this chatter we had, you know, not just a few months ago about it's all going to $1,000, you know, that's all evaporated now. And so I think that narrative shift is quite important. I did vlog on this a while ago saying the shift in the narrative was, you know, not so much that the price is going to be kind of dropping a lot further, but is the bottom in? And I think that's starting to build. And you're right, I think some of the smart money's come in. They might sell into a little bit of this froth at the moment. And I don't think we should get, you know, I think it's too bullish to think that this sort of nice little uptrend that we have is just going to keep going for the whole rest of the year and we're all back up to 1900 by the end of the year. You know, there will be corrections on this climb back up. So I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if it'll get to 1400. It may sort of come off a little bit from there. But I think the fact that it's had this nice move up from basically the end of 2013, right from that 1200 point and pivoting all the way up now into the 1350s, I think is encouraging. And I do think that the longer this sort of continues, I think the more you'll start to see the sort of investor money start to come back in a reassessment of gold, and particularly Ukraine, all these sorts of events just help to support that.
Bron, we're looking right now at a live spot 24-hour gold chart, and right now gold is up a little bit on the live spot chart. It's up about $3, specifically $2.99, as we're recording here at 6:44 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday. We're at about $13.75. Real quickly, what do you think caused this shift upward this week?
I mean, I know people are a bit disparaging about this sort of flight to safety thing and war talk and all that and say, oh, this is just sort of, but it is a factor. I mean, it is a factor that goes into the gold market. I think it's a defensive move that the knee-jerk reaction maybe that the market takes to say, well, we've got all this sort of uncertainty, economic uncertainty and political uncertainty. And so there is this mishmash that flows into gold and people go, I'll put a bit of money into gold. And I think that is a sort of self-reinforcing market behavior and response. And I think that's what's ultimately behind it. And then we've seen that with the ETFs showing a bit more strength in their holdings as well. So I don't think I think that's the sort of thing that's giving it a little bit of a push up from here. Is that sustainable? I mean, I suppose is the question. And until we have this Ukraine thing, I suppose it bubbles along, that'll probably provide some support.
Bron, I think there's a lot of support still out there in the market. We know that Ukraine, there's still issues going on over there. It is interesting to see that the premiums over in the Shanghai exchange are actually coming down, which is saying something that maybe that Chinese demand is waning just a little bit. Still not enough, I don't think, to make us think that China's out of the market. I think they will continue to be big buyers. I also think that the West is slowly catching on, and I think it's good that we're slowly moving up and taking out these technical points just like we did earlier in this week. So it's going to be something that we're going to monitor. We appreciate you taking some time with us, Bron, and I hope everybody enjoyed our chat with Bron. We're going to be right back with a couple of our favorite segments where our panel of experts are going to be talking gold, gold stocks, and the gold market.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at alkavision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. That's alkavision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new alkavision.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour, the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We are chatting with a new guest right now, Thibault Leportre. Hope I pronounced that correctly. He is from Belgium. Corey and I met Thibault back at the Prospectors and Developers Association conference, PDAC, back in Toronto a couple of weeks ago. Pretty impressive guy. Thibault is, in addition to having a master's degree, he's also an attorney. He writes a newsletter called Caesar's Report, dealing with small small cap mining companies. Before we talk about his report, which we think is very good, by the way, Thibault, we've had a pretty good rise in the precious metals markets this past week. How do you think that's going to affect the performance of the junior mining companies?
Hi, Al. Well, first of all, I think that the recent spike in the gold price will actually be quite beneficial for gold-oriented companies, because I really think that not only will this reattract attention to the sector, but it will also open a window for new financings. So I think a lot of companies have actually been waiting for the spike, as we just have seen, to raise additional funds and to get the message back out again, because as you probably remember, it's almost been a year since gold got really hammered in April of last year. So I think it's good to have some signs of life back on the gold market.
Thibault, throughout 2014, we have seen a few more deals done in terms of private mm-hmm. placements and a few bought deals. They've been mostly isolated to the mid-tier, higher-level exploration companies. As we've talked mm-hmm. about a few times, there are still a lot of junior companies out there that are fairly weak. Do you think that this rise in gold is the only factor that's needed to bring people back into the junior sector, or do we need what John Kaiser says sometimes is a new discovery or a new area play?
All new discoveries are always welcome, of course, but I do think that investors got a little smarter over the past 2 years and now are also putting management under microscope to see in what kind of management and what kind of team they are investing in. So I think there's a discrepancy between companies with a decent project and a decent management team and companies with a mediocre project and a mediocre management team. So I'm convinced that more money will flow into the juniors with a decent management team, because those guys will be capable of effectively doing what they promised to do. And I do think that a lot of those mediocre companies with just a mediocre asset will eventually go out of business. I think there's a natural selection going on whereby the good companies will get financed and the worse ones will probably have to switch lights off by the end of the year.
You know, Thibault, I've got an interesting question for you, and that is, number one, you're living across the pond, certainly from where most of the companies you write about are located. You're living over mm-hmm. in Belgium. You are also an attorney. What attracted you to the junior mining sector?
It's a very interesting sector, because there are a lot of variables into the mining sector, and, the commodity prices are one of the most important parameters of determining whether or not a project or a company is a good one. And I'm convinced that everything what happens in the world economy or on a world scale will eventually reflect back into the commodity prices and the supply and demand balances. So that's what attracted me the most to the sector, because it's something which changes every day. And it really is a sector where and the project has to be good, and the location has to be good, and the management team has to be good. So it's a very interesting sector, because there's a lot of things happening every day which could easily influence any of those three factors I just mentioned.
Thibault, do you focus primarily on juniors, or do you also focus on the mid-tier and large-cap companies?
My main focus is indeed on the junior companies, because I feel that's where the most leverage is. I mean, if a Detour Gold or a Cisco opens up a new mine of 100 or 200,000 ounces a year, it won't really have an impact on the bottom line, whilst if a new company, junior company, without any significant production results actually starts up a new mine, the leverage on the potential share price will be much, much higher. So that's why I mainly keep an eye out on the junior companies.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I've been involved in this business for a long time, and we have done very, very well in the junior sector for exactly the reasons you talk about. You know, it's interesting, whenever we interview letter writers such as yourself and others, analysts, etc., you know, we ask them, well, what are your criteria, or enabling you, I guess I should say, to separate the wheat from the chaff in the junior mining sector? You know, and there's always four things they bring up. They bring up, number one, does the company have any money? Number two, the integrity and ability of the management. Number three, the asset itself. And then number four, does the management team have the ability to raise money in the future? future. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I know all those things are important, but boy, as far as Al Corlin is concerned, it's all about one thing and one thing only, and that is management. You know, when you get to the level where you have a company that is actually trading either on the Toronto Stock Exchange or the TSX Venture Exchange, odds are pretty good that they're going to have a couple of bucks. Odds are pretty good that they're going to have an asset at least that is definable in of sorts. But, you know, the thing that really makes a company, in my opinion, is the drive, the passion of the management team.
I tend to agree with you, Al, and I would like to add a fifth factor, and that's location. Over the past 3 or 4 years, we have seen a lot of resource nationalism coming back up again. So I think location of a project is more important than ever before.
Thibault, I would agree with you. Location is crucial, and we've seen different geopolitical risks out there. We have seen companies be very successful in some jurisdictions, and then all of a sudden those jurisdictions close their borders. One that comes to mind specifically is Argentina. They do have a bunch of great projects down there, but then they also have a very shaky political ground, which does make it very hard to invest in some of these companies, specifically because when I invest in juniors, I look on a more long-term basis. It's too hard to play these guys short-term. You need to get behind the management and also believe in where the property is. How do you go about isolating the jurisdictions that you find to be safe or at least accommodative to investing in?
Well, first of all, you need to look at the history of the country, whether or not nationalizations have occurred or whether or not the government got greedy. But of course, you can never exclude that situations might change, right? So in the case of Argentina, you just mentioned, I worked together with one of the companies working down there, which is the Golden Arrow Resources. So in the case of Argentina, it's not as necessarily the national level, which is the most difficult one, but in Argentina, the mining decisions are being made on a more regional level, so on a provincial level. So it's perfectly possible that one province is mining friendly, while another province is completely closed from mining. So an investor really has to do its due diligence to make sure that he's investing in a company which is operating in one of those provinces which are mining friendly, and so they won't be caught by surprise. So it's every investor needs to do his due diligence, whether you're investing in the DRC or in Canada or in the USA. There are always some difficulties regarding permitting processes or governments who get greedy, and it doesn't always go hand in hand. But those two factors are the main and most important factors actually there are. So investors really need to do their own due diligence to make sure they can correctly assess the country risk and the governmental risks in the countries they want to get exposure to.
Okay, we have been chatting with Thibault Leportre. He has an interesting missive entitled Caesar's Report. For now, stick around. Corey and I are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's time to get your green on with the great green sale from Freeze Dry Guy. Now through St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, cases of delicious freeze-dried vegetables, green beans, and green peas are now on sale at veteran-owned freezedryguy.com. You don't need to be Irish to feel like you have pots of gold with a healthy supply of these delicious, nutritious green vegetables. They're perfect for your emergency preparedness needs or outdoor activities from camping to RV travel. Green beans and green peas, easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and now easier than ever to buy. How about some green backs in your wallet or purse just for ordering? Act now, and Freeze Dry Guy will give you $25 in survival bucks for every case you purchase by St. Paddy's Day. So get your green on now, veggie lovers. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I got to tell you, Thibault Leportre is a very interesting guy. You're going to expect to be hearing more from him on the show for the future. We've got a really interesting panel put together right now. We're going to air part of this as segment 7 of our weekend show. And then if you want to hear the full panel discussion in its entirety, which is close to 20 minutes, simply go to our website. Corey and I have the Three Musketeers online with us, Gary Savage, Richard Doc Postma, and Rick Ackerman. We're going to talk a little bit right now about what's going on, inflation or deflation. Something very definitely is going on if you think the gold market is saying anything. And the reason I say that is in the last 5 days, gold has gone up about 40 points, down from around 1340 up to close to 1380. It was even on the spot market, it was even higher, a little bit higher than that last night. It's been my experience over the years that whenever you see this kind of action in the gold market, there's a lot of trepidation out there. There are a lot of people who are confused out there. They don't know what to do, and so you generally see a bit more of a rush into precious metals. Deflation versus inflation. Let's start with you, Gary. What do you think is going on right now, man?
Well, we're in the beginning of an inflationary stage. It's going to be just like 2008, where the government tries to, I think this time they're going to try and stop the bubble in the stock market from collapsing, just like they tried to stop the housing market from collapsing in 2008. And that inflation, instead of going back into the housing market or the stock market, went into the commodity markets. Same thing's going to happen. The inflation is already starting to leak out of the stock market, where it's been stored for the last 3 years. It's starting to leak into the commodity markets. You've seen that by the sharp spike in the CRB over the last couple of months. And I think this is what's going to happen. Inflation always comes first, deflation afterwards, and here's why. Inflation, when it gets out of control, consumers lose the ability to have any discretionary spending. All they can do is afford the gas in their car and their food. They don't have any extra money for anything else. That collapses the economy, and when the economy starts to collapse, that's deflationary, sucks everything down into it. So we have a deflation coming, but it's not going to happen until we get that inflationary spike. And what you need to look for is the price of oil. Whenever it goes up 100% or more within a year's time, within a short period of time, that's too much. It's too big of a shock for economies, and they collapse. Discretionary spending collapses. The economy collapses, and then everything rolls over into a deflationary spiral. The next one is due to bottom in 2016 sometime, and I expect it will start probably early 2015, but we're going to have a very vicious spike in commodity prices this year, especially into the latter part of the year, exactly the same, in my opinion, as what happened in 2008. We had a severe inflationary event in 2008. Coupled that along with the housing market collapsing, and that's what caused the recession. Same thing's going to happen.
Rick, I want to get your side of the story because I know you're coming at it from a slightly different angle.
I'm going to have to stick with deflation. I think we're in the very maw of it right now. Obviously, the Fed's attempts at monetization have been directed not so much at inflating things. They failed to do that. But in holding this quadrillion-dollar leveraged financial edifice at bay, because when it starts to collapse, it's pure deflation. With respect to oil prices, there's always the prospect that a geopolitical crisis could drive it higher, but I think it's only the sort of crisis that would give perceptions that the oil supply will be completely choked off. That's always possible, but I think that supply and demand, especially from the supply side, are coming into play much more powerfully than they have in the last 20 years. The new story has shifted from peak oil to a situation where the U.S. is a potential energy exporter. We're producing quite a bit of energy from the fracking process, and you've also got huge energy prospects out of Israel, which may be sitting on as much as a trillion cubic feet of natural gas, and oil sand along the coastal plain in Israel. You've got enough oil in the ground that it could amount to something like 250 billion barrels. So I think that's a completely different supply perspective than you had even a few years ago, and it will have some impact on oil's ability to act in some ways as a surrogate money. In other words, shifting investable assets from one thing, perhaps financial and paper, into something very real, namely petroleum. But I think we're really battling deflation now, and it's a very positive sign that gold has been moving higher as that has occurred. There's no, doesn't seem to be any serious inflation threat on the horizon, and it's mainly because there are much more powerful forces of deflation that for one, have squeezed the middle class to death. I mean, there is no spending power out there, and with the new tax of Obamacare and everything else, we have effective deflation at the consumer level.
That's an interesting point. You know, people are confused right now, no question about it. As you know, you guys are coming from two very opposite sides of the spectrum here. I say people are confused because consumer sentiment went down below the consensus range. In the latest poll, the consensus was that we would drop to around 80.5 to 83.0, and that was from the prior number of 81.6. In effect, we're down to 79.9. So people are confused, in my opinion. They're not feeling really good about that. We got a politician in the crowd. Doc, what do you think about all of this?
Yeah, I'll be the politician here. Al, in I agree with both Gary and Rick. What we have globally is a situation of deflation, okay? However, the response of the central bankers is inflationary, because inflation is really printing money. That's inflation. It's not the pricing. It's the inflation of money. And that's what's been going on. But that results then in that money having to chase something. So I feel Gary is correct in the sense that it's chased the stock market here. And now that we're getting tapering, you're getting those folks getting a little bit concerned about being in the stock market, and they're starting to pull their money, and then they're going to take that money and they're going to look at the next place to place that money. And I agree with the fact that the next place it'll all run will be into commodities and into precious metals and into resources. And that's what I think we'll see here for a while. And that's because of the currency devaluations as well.
Guys, there's no doubt that there is a tug of war going on right now, a deflation, inflation. We do have central banks around the world continuing to print money, but we also have seen them slowly start to slow down this printing of money. And when that money does flow out of the conventional markets, which it is in the hands of some pretty big players, buying real goods, real assets, commodities is not out of the question. I just don't quite know how it will affect our day-to-day lives, plus also other aspects that are inflationary and deflationary out there, such as home prices, wages, everything that goes along with daily living. I think that that's the one problem with some of these data points, is that they take into account different numbers rather than what's actually going on from a personal living aspect. Gary, I'm going to throw it back over to you after you've heard what Doug and Rick had to say. What are some of your final comments?
Two things. First off, liquidity, just like water, will flow to undervalued assets eventually. Right now, housing's overvalued, stocks are overvalued, commodities are undervalued. That process has begun. The liquidity is starting to leak out of overvalued stocks, real estate, that kind of stuff, and into undervalued commodities.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time for the rest of this segment. For everyone that wants to listen to this roundtable in its entirety, go visit our website, www.kereport.com.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means, cold and flu season. But don't worry, HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I ate a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Corey and I are chatting right now with a gentleman who certainly knows his way around the precious metals business. His name is Ross Norman. Ross is the chief executive officer of an organization in the UK entitled Sharps Pixley Limited. They are in London. Ross started his career, specifically his bullion career, with Johnson Matthey. He then became a bullion trader at M.N. Rothschild & Sons, went on to Credit Suisse, and he is now the CEO of Sharps Pixley. I have a question for you, Ross, and rather than chatting about your firm, just real quickly, we're seeing a pretty strong gold market right now. You know, Friday morning, gold went up significantly overseas. From a U.S. standpoint, I have to say it was up to close to $1,390 an ounce, and gold fell back a little bit. Number one, what do you attribute the strong gold market to right now?
Well, you could look at it from two perspectives. One is the gold story, which is phenomenal flows into China and India that are well reported, of course. And of course, that's being added to by, should we say, safe haven buying, bearing in mind there's been a significant default this morning in China, and of course the Ukraine-Russia story as well. The other side to the whole picture really is comparative US dollar weakness. Of course, the US dollar and gold enjoy an inverse relationship. Take, for example, today. I mean, there's been a record number of foreign organizations selling U.S. treasuries held over the last week, amounting to about $100 billion. The U.S. dollar's pretty weak, and that's also, of course, adding some strength to gold. So it's not untypically a story of many parts for gold, but the strength, I think, has caught many of us somewhat by surprise.
Ross, what I like about this growth, and it's something you kind of touched on there, is that it can be, and I think it is, coming from many different factors, whether you want to look at geopolitical issues, what's going on here in the West, or even what's going on over in China. There seem to be a lot of drivers for gold right now. Your comments on this?
Yeah, the positive factors are as long as you are. I mean, ETF flows have got to be towards the top of the list. We saw, you know, last year was a story about a massive exit of from ETF holders, about 881 tons sold. Redemptions in the ETF, of course, needing to selling in the spot market. And that's a significant amount of metal to absorb in just 12 months, roughly a third of all holdings. That flow, of course, seems to have eased up an awful lot. And, of course, they're now buyers of gold for the first time in over a year. And I think that flow is something that many investors are watching for. Some of the move you could attribute to short covering, again, in addition to that massive outflow of ETF selling, we saw some fantastically large shorts being created last year. And, of course, now we're seeing some short covering, which is driving the market higher. Typically, that lends short-term support but doesn't give you a sustained rally. And beyond that, of course, you've got the fundamentals, which is basically China buying about 100 tons of gold a month in India, despite the fact that they've increased taxes. Locals in India are paying anywhere between 15 and 20% premium for their gold after taxes and the local premiums in that country, which just goes to show you at the moment just how red-hot emerging nations are. I mean, the truth of the matter is gold's going through a phenomenal seismic shock in terms of how it operates. It's been a very Western-centric and paper market, if you like, and it's rapidly changing into a very Eastern-centric physical market. And we're seeing that in flows of gold coming through London and through Switzerland being converted into their form of metal. And I think that trend will continue. I think China and India have got a very clear view of what they want. You could add to that, of course, Russia and other emerging nations who are falling out of love with the US dollar. I mean, it's a currency which has come close to defaulting on a number of occasions over the last 3 years. So wouldn't you hold your reserve assets in something else? So those are some of the key drivers. You could have focused on inflation. You could focus on the fact that equities are at all-time highs. But I think the key issue for anyone looking at gold is that fundamentally there's so much going on, and it's quite hard to disassemble it all into a coherent investment strategy. But the key thing is that you know something ain't right. So what you should have is some form of insurance. And I think it's not just insurance. It's a form of insurance that if the worst doesn't happen, you still get to keep your premium. You still own your gold at the end of the story. So that's not a bad bet.
You know, Ross, I got to tell you, you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, my philosophy is concerned. There are a couple of reasons that people buy gold, and I've been in this game for a long time. I basically have been involved in the industry for, you know, over 35 years. And one thing that I've noticed is, you know, you have a lot of short-term traders, and these are very, very bright people who make an awful lot of money. And I have simply chosen that I don't want to be a short-term trader because of my personal background, which we've talked about on this show before. I buy gold for the exact reason that you're talking about, which is a safe haven. You know, I mean, you can use the word insurance. I prefer to use the word safe haven. And I agree 100% that, you know, at the end of the day, if nothing dramatic happens in terms of major black swan events or what have you, you still have your gold. And, you know, I mean, my grandparents taught me that. My parents taught me that. You know, I mean, I didn't just fall off a turnip truck. So hopefully I'm doing the right thing right now. Now, do most of your clients, are they large institutions? Are they individuals? What category do they fall in?
Well, both, really. I mean, many of them, it can be private wealth. It can be small institutions as well. It can also be, for what it's worth, retail investors. One of the things that we observe quite noticeably in the UK, and the UK is quite an important market. Not only does it have the biggest flows of metal through here on the way from being refined, but also from the mines. And also many of the rules surrounding good delivery and so on happen here in London. But, you know, that's the professional market. But at the ordinary level, we've scarcely sold an ounce of gold to investors over here that haven't started by apologizing. And they apologize because they don't understand what it is they're buying, but they feel a need to want to do so. Why is it dollars per ounce? And why an ounce, not a gram, et cetera? And how do I sell it if I buy it? So the UK population doesn't have a great knowledge of the market, unlike, say, Germany, unlike, say, the US. The US is very much a coin-centric market. Of course, in India, where in every street corner you'll find gold. So there is some element of lack of education about gold in the UK, and that creates a fantastic opportunity because here you've got one of the biggest concentration of millionaires and billionaires, often from countries with a close affinity for gold. And these are people who are migrant, if you like, wealthy migrant people. And, of course, gold is probably the ultimate migrant metal, if you are. It's portable, and it you know, sort of withstands those shocks that these people are here to avoid.
Russ, I've always said for a while that the price of gold, if it is to rise in a hurry, is going to be due to Western investment and Western demand coming on board. And as you said, the knowledge of the market and really the desire to learn more about the market still is not in investors' heads, I don't find, here in the U.S. and also in Britain. You don't? Do you agree with this or not really?
Yeah, you have failed and I have failed. We have failed because actually the demographic gold is horrifically narrow in terms of your typical gold buyer. The mere existence of cryptocurrencies, yeah, I'm talking about Bitcoin, I think it underscores the failure of gold to widen its demographic to younger people that might want to invest, to women as investors typically, and to other hosts of individuals that could and should be buying gold. And a lot of gold buyers are repeat buyers. Now, in America, I think you've got a slightly wider demographic than in other parts of the world. But the mere existence, I'd say, of Bitcoin, which tells you that people are looking for something other than fiat currencies, they're grasping a currency without any underpinning or backing, it, to me, is probably the tulip bulb of this century. But I don't knock it. All I'm saying to you is its mere existence tells you that there's a hunger for something other than fiat currency, and this cryptocurrency has been created to satisfy that need. And of course, your Bitcoin trader is about 30 years younger than your gold trader or your gold investor. And that tells me that gold has failed to widely promote itself to enable people to understand what it is they're buying.
The market for gold, i.e. the individuals, the institutions, etc., I think is a very, very sophisticated market. Now, I have to say that I really believe that, yes, it's true, gold has not promoted itself perhaps as well as it could, you know, but when you have people out there like our friend James Turk, for example, who I think has done wonders, you know, with his gold money situation, etc., I view gold as being a very sophisticated market populated by very, very sophisticated investors. Bitcoin, on the other hand, I've just never really had much use for. Tell us a little bit about Sharpe's Pixley Limited.
Yeah, we're here to make gold accessible and visible here in London. Visible is an important part of the story. Jewelry, if you want to buy it, it's important quite often to look at it and feel it. So our business is delivering the physical, and if you want it vaulted here, we can do it for you. If you want to take it home, it's fine as well. So investment gold, whether it's coin or bar, US is a coin market. We're more of a bar market over here. So providing the physical metal to those that want it, in short.
There you have it. Ross Norman, Chief Executive Officer of Sharpe's Pixley. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this weekend program. It's been a pleasure putting it together. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.